We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Arlene, as we know, there's a lot to chew on in this 182-page report released this week by the Rhode Island State Police about the Cranston Police Department and Mayor Fung. What do you consider the most serious concerns highlighted by the state police? And in your view, has Mayor Fung offered an adequate response or explanation?
To me, one of the most, if not the most damaging, is the whole Antonucci matter.
Talking about Captain Stephen Antonucci?
Right, who obviously ordered the ticketing behind the scenes. Obviously, he was going to become promoted, according to the report, and he was going to come back to his job in a higher level. There's one guy who never even asked for it, the then Captain Dodd, and goes out on an accidental disability, even though he didn't even request it. In comes someone who should have been subject to a policeman bill of rights hearing. He gets promoted. He goes out with a couple of million dollars worth of his life expectancy of a pension that could have been at least damaged a little bit.
It sounds like what you're talking about is issues that demonstrate a lack of accountability.
Accountability and also credibility, because by the same token, when he was campaigning against Ken Block, all he talked about was his leadership, how he would definitely take the unions on, et cetera. And it was quite clear he couldn't take the unions on even in Cranston, Rhode Island. In fact, he was looking the other way and aiding and abetting the behavior of then-Captain Antonucci.
Let's go to Scott.
One thing I found very unusual, and I know that a lot of police departments are riven by these personality disputes, and there's different factions. That's not unusual. However, have you seen in your time in law enforcement, police, actually the brass of the police, spying on hiring private detectives and actually surveillance of underlings? That seems unusual.
I have never seen that, and I still keep in touch with a lot of law enforcement, and to them, it's totally beyond the ken. This is totally uncalled for.
You, of course, are a former state attorney general. Some interest in your perspective on this. The Rhode Island State Police have a reputation as an organization that have been insulated from political influence. How has that happened? How have they maintained those standards in a state where we've certainly seen our share of political corruption?
I think it's a legacy issue. And frankly, I got the privilege of working with Colonel Walter Stone and Major Benjamin. They certainly ran a tight ship. They were the people who raised the Brendan Dohertys of the world. He was a young cop back in those days. Andrews, the kinds of discipline that they had, Urso, etc. So I just think the culture, rectitude, comes from them and has continued to this day with the state police.
They weren't very good about promoting women, however, were they?
Well, of course, as you know, that well-needed lawsuit came about. Finally, they got on the dime. One of the problems was a culture issue. I certainly have had my discussions with Colonel Stone back in the day, as they say, about that issue. And I think the lawsuit was a very good thing in federal court to open it up.
The Cranston City Council is pursuing an effort now to ask the General Assembly to make some changes in the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights. That's a process governing disciplinary panels for police officers accused of internal wrongdoing. In the view of critics, it results in a lack of accountability for police who do things wrong. Why haven't we seen more of a groundswell from other communities to ask the General Assembly to make changes in that Bill of Rights?
To me, the ultimate irony of this report done by the state police shows why, in a way, that Bill of Rights bill is there. On the one hand, of course, were all the problems with this private surveillance, etc., which should be chastised and make it easier to get at police who do that kind of thing. But by the same token, there were victims that were police officers, and that's who was intended to be protected by the act. So I think I don't think that report gives an open door. Oh, we're going to have reform of the act, because it cuts both ways in that report in terms of protecting police officers who want to do their job, which was the original intent.
What would it take, in your view, to bring about some changes in the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights?
I think the hearings have to be much more expedited than, in fact, they are. The decisions have to be rendered much more timely than they are. They have, because of everybody's duties, they go on for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. Now, I'm not saying you rush to judgment and you rush before you have the facts, but you should ask for the hearing when you're ready to have the hearing and then go forward with it, but get it done.
We're talking here with former State Attorney General Arlene Violet. Now back to Scott McKay.
I'm just wondering, General, do you think it's wise to have the mayor also be the chief public safety commissioner of a city?
I do not. While on the one hand, obviously he has somewhat of a supervisory authority, the fact of the matter is he should not be the top cop. I really cannot see that anymore. And I think we've seen, going back to Providence with Mayor Cianci and now with Mayor Fung, we're seeing all the abuses of that system. It's too bad.
You were a Republican when you served as Attorney General. How would you explain the shortcomings of the Rhode Island GOP in failing to muster itself as an effective opposition party?
I think far too many Republicans, even those who are in office, have been compromised. I heard, you know, Teresa Piver-Weed thank Joe Trillo, for example, for taking them all out on his boat, et cetera. I mean, you know, I think you have to be cordial, but, you know, you're supposed to be the grand old opposition. And I just think it's a shame, really, that they've metamorphosized into one party in the state.
Has the Tea Party hurt the Republican brand, do you think, both in New England and nationwide?
Scott, bingo. Absolutely. Particularly here, I think, in Rhode Island, because most Republicans would be very moderate.
How would you evaluate the job that Peter Kilmartin is doing as Attorney General?
I think he's doing a good job, even though he got criticized during the election that he wasn't doing corruption probes. He was doing corruption probes. The fact of the matter is he did have guts. He did go after some police officers, et cetera. So I think he's acquitting himself well in office.
Do you think the sentence given Gordon Fox was serious enough?
I do. I think that when you look at the time frames that are involved, it certainly is within the range, even though it was on the lower side. He did cooperate. He did save lots of money for the state, et cetera. So I don't think it was beyond the reach of a regular sentence.
The criminologist James Allen Fox of Northeastern University likes to say how politicians focus on the three R's, revenge, retaliation, and retribution in criminal justice policy, because it leads to the fourth R, re-election. Does that explain, in your view, why the U.S. has been so slow to move away from what critics call the prison industrial complex?
Yeah, what about reform? You know, that should be one of the R's as well. And frankly, in many places, particularly in California, there's been lots of documentation that it actually are the unions and prisons that really bust people for stupid things. They keep the prison population full. We got to build new places, et cetera. The whole system needs to be reformed. And regrettably, the fact that professor forgets that fourth R, reform, just shows what a dire strait we're in.
The Republican Party hasn't had a statewide office holder for the first time, really, in the last two or three election cycles since the 1970s, when I believe Phil Noel was governor. You, of course, won statewide election. What do you think the party needs to do to try to rebuild its brand and actually function as a two-party state?
Well, first of all, they've got to stop being a two-party Republican party. They fight with themselves, and those petty differences have really resulted in alienation of one faction from another. They've got to get their act together, decide what, in fact, they want to do. And the message, get out there, like McLuhan, you know, get out there and really push that message.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And former State Attorney General Arlene Violet.
Thank you, gentlemen.